like you to turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Begin reading at verse 8. 1 Chronicles 14. Verse 8. Chapter 4, 2 Chronicles. 14:8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, and all the Philistines went up to seek David, David heard of it, and he went out against them. The Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go, for I will deliver them into thine hand." So they came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, "God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters." Let's read that part again. David said, "God has broken in upon my enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters." Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. When they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, "Go not up after them. Turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt go out to battle, for God has gone before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought fear of him upon all nations. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, God, that it is already anointed and inspired. And Father, I pray that you would anoint me tonight, God, as I bring this message. Anoint every heart, Father, anoint every ear, oh God, to hear, to receive, to apply this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I know I have preached from this passage of scripture before. Hopefully tonight see maybe a few things that we didn't pull out the last time we were here with this particular scripture. But I want to talk to you tonight about guarding your anointing. Guard your anointing. Verse 8 says, the Philistines knew of David's anointing. Understand, any time you see in the word the Philistines were enemies of Israel. They were enemies of David. They hated David. They hated Israel. They hated God, just as Satan hates you, just as Satan hates the church, and just as Satan hates God. You're made in the image of God. And for if there were no other reason than that right there would be enough for the enemy to hate you, because you are made in the image of God. The word says the Philistines knew of the anointing on David's life. Now, the Bible speaks of anointing people with oil. Let's just do a little bit of ground setting here. The Bible talks about anointing people with oil, that they may be healed. It also speaks of applying oil so that a person would be consecrated to a specific office or to a specific position. And David himself was anointed 3 times before he became king. He was anointed 3 times, once in Samuel 16. He was anointed. He was also anointed in 2 Samuel 2. He was anointed by the men of Judah. And then in 2 Samuel verse 5, David was anointed as king of Israel by the elders of Israel. So he was anointed by God, but he was also, men came and they had the ceremony to anoint him, laid the oil on him, and anointed him. The Lord spoke of David in 2 Samuel, verse 3, and he said, speaking about David, by the hand of my servant David, will I save my people Israel out of the hands of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. By the hand of my servant David, will I save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies. Anointing also is to set apart. God anoints a person for a specific calling. Isaiah chapter 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. When God calls you and appoints you, he anoints you to that specific calling.
Yes, he does.
Okay? And whenever God does that, at that point that God has called you, and that at that point when God has appointed you and anointed you, you have the power to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. Okay, let's just again get that groundwork set out here tonight. Whatever God has anointed you to do, rest assured also that the enemy knows that you are anointed for that specific calling.
Yeah.
Okay, the enemy knows your anointing.
Yes.
The enemy knows the power that you carried with you. Just as the Philistines knew the anointing of David and they said, we've got to stop this man. Don't think for a second that if there's an anointing upon your life, that the enemy is just sitting there twiddling his thumbs and just letting you go.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an anointing upon your life, just as they said about David, we've got to stop him, we've got to seek him out, we've got to do whatever we can to bring David down. Don't think for a second that the enemy has not put a mark on your head, that he is going to take you out and he's going to bring you down and he's going to destroy you. That is his goal. That is his goal. He wants to take you out.
So true. That's right.
But he doesn't have to.
No.
Heard Sister Williams say one time, the devil may have power, but he does not have authority over you. We got to remember that. I don't take credit for that. I heard her say that. They have power, but does not have authority. The Philistines knew that David was anointed, and he was a threat to them, so they were seeking to take him out. 1 Chronicles 14:8 says, David went out against them. Now, he did not just go willy-nilly running out there in the middle of the battlefield, you know. He didn't just go running out there, you know, just at the drop of a hat. 1 Samuel also gives an account of this story here, of this happening. And what it says that he did was he went down to the stronghold. He went down to the hold. What was that? That was that place that had been fortified for protection against the enemy. He went down to the hold. He went down to that stronghold, and he got a hold of God, and he prayed to see how God wanted him to handle this situation. He was prepared to do battle. He knew that he could overcome. But before he went walking out on that battlefield, he got along with God in the stronghold. He took refuge in a safe place. And he called on God. And while the Philistines are all coming to the Valley of Rephaim, and they're setting themselves. Now, Valley of Rephaim, I like to, whenever I'm studying the Bible, I like to find out what words mean. I like to find out what names mean. I like to find out what places mean. The Valley of Rephaim also means the Valley of Giants. That in itself sounds intimidating. Amen?
Right.
Valley of Giants, I don't really particularly want to go there and fight. But you have to. The Valley of Giants. And whenever David saw that those men were scattered all around, the Philistines were scattered all over Valley of Giants, I'm sure it even looked intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But while he was there, while they were there covering the valley, David was in prayer. Mm-hmm. He positioned himself in the stronghold, praying to God for direction on how to handle this situation. When you come under attack, it would do you good to get away from everything and everyone and find yourself a place along with God and seek His face on how do you want me to handle this situation, God.
Right. Yes.
Not how does my flesh want to handle it. Not what would I do if I were in your shoes, how to handle it. Not what worked last time, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But God, how do you want me to handle this situation?
Yes.
He cried out to God, where's your stronghold? Where is that place? I'll tell you where mine is. Mine is Psalm 91. I gave this scripture to somebody late last night, early this morning. Psalm 91, when you go home, read this entire chapter. But it starts out and it says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. It doesn't matter how many Philistines are gathering up down there in the Valley of Giants. He is my God, and in him will I trust. The call of God on your life and the anointing that comes with that calling is worth protecting, and it's worth defending.
Yes,
it's worth fighting for. It's worth praying for. It's worth fasting for. If there's an anointing upon your life, and there is, it's worth going to the Valley of Giants for. It's worth fighting for. Satan's coming against you and your family. Go to that place. When the enemy comes and he's threatening you because of your anointing, and he's positioning himself against you, and it looks like everywhere you look, you just see the enemy coming. Every turn, it's just like the enemy is right there. And it just seems like one thing after the other. Have you ever seen times, and have you ever been through those times where it's, you just get your head above the water and you get pulled and sucked right back down, and you come up for another grasp of air and you get pulled back down? And this is what some of you tonight are dealing with. Yes, the devil is a liar. Seek the face of God. Move forward. Defend that calling and defend that anointing on your life.
Yeah.
That's not something man gave you. I don't care if you were anointed with oil by a man or by a group of men. God anointed you.
Yes.
That anointing came from God. From his place of refuge, David began to ask God if he should go up against the Philistines. The Lord said, go. And he assured David that they would win a victory. And you know what? God was right. God kept his word.
Yeah.
God is faithful. Just as he had promised, David was victorious over the Philistines that day. And David named that place Baal-perazim. Now the word for Baal means Lord or Master. The name Perazim is plural for breaking forth or breaking through. So David named that place, that Valley of Giants where he had just battled, that place that looked so intimidating, David named it Master of Breakthroughs. He said, God has broken in on my enemies, and he has by my hand, he said, he used me. God has come to this battle, and by his hand, he has touched my hand, and by his hand, we have won this battle.
Yes. Amen.
God used me to do it.
Yes.
God used me. He anointed me. He empowered me like the breaking forth of waters. And because God has given us many breakthroughs this day, we will call this place Lord of Breakthroughs or Master of Breakthroughs. Some of you this morning, you had some breakthroughs. I'm telling you, some of you this morning have some breakthroughs. Baal-perazim, Master of Breakthroughs. Don't call that place the Valley of Giants anymore. Don't look at that place as a place of intimidation anymore. Don't consider how many Philistines are filling up that valley with their mark on your head. Follow after God and call that place Master of Breakthroughs.
Amen.
I'll tell you so many times that I have come down to these altars, And I have wept with everything in me, and I've cried with everything in me, and I've been to a place to where I just didn't know if I could go on. And I can tell you, I can take you to different places in this church, at these altars, where God came on the scene.
Yes.
I laid right there one day till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. God moving, God working. Right over there one day, I was up in the choir. I had not even any intention of sharing this, but I feel impressed to do it. And I was struggling with stuff so bad. I was struggling. And the power of God was in the service. And there was an anointing in the service. And I wanted out. I'm going to be honest. I was in a place where I wanted out. And I came down out of that choir. Probably should not have even been up there. But I came down out of that choir. My intention was to grab my little girl and head out of here. But I found myself down at this altar. Brenda Keith was right there, and I still to this day say she poured that entire bottle of anointing oil over me. She says she just barely touched me. But I want to tell you, it felt to me like she just took it and just poured it from head to foot. I could take it to the spot. Right over there was another spot. Right over here was another spot. Baal Perazim.
Yeah.
Baal Perazim. Mark those places, people. Mark those places. Mark those places.
Yes.
Sorry, I have a very, very dry mouth. David had a victory that day. Mm-hmm. But he had to go to the valley.
Yep.
And he had to do the battle. We want a powerful anointing. We don't want to have to face the enemy. We want victory, but we don't want to do the hard stuff that it's going to take to get that victory. We don't want to fight and overcome that temptation that keeps presenting itself to us. I know what I'm talking about, church. We want to see our kids and our grandkids walking in the anointing, fulfilling the calling of God on their lives. And don't for a second think that the devil's just going to sit back and let that happen without a fight. You may have to go to the Valley of Giants, not just for you, but also for your family. You can't turn tail and run when the enemy challenges you. You can't turn tail and run when the enemy challenges your position in Christ. You got to know who you are in Christ.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, you better know who you are in Christ.
Amen.
And you can't turn tail and run when he comes after you. Satan is going to do everything he can to pull you down. He's going to do everything he can to get you off focus and to wear you down.
Yes, yes he will.
And I'm telling you, you're going to have to be willing and have to be empowered to fight every battle that comes your way.
Yeah.
We have to take this walk with God serious, church. We're running out of time. The enemy's fighting. I know we've heard that. I've heard that since I was just a kid, but it's that many years closer than what it was 50 years ago when I heard it. We're talking about eternity. Not just our eternity, but we're talking about the eternity of our kids and our grandkids. We're talking about the eternity of those that God has already ordained for us to go and preach to and minister to and pray for. We're talking about the eternity of those that Jude talks about, pulling them out of the fire.
Yes.
If you don't do it, who will? If you're anointed for that and you don't do it, who will? Oh, dear God, help us. We cannot be that powerful influence in this world if we're too lazy to battle. We have to stay on guard and we have to stay alert. Samson laid his head in the lap of Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
Was comfortable enough there that he went to sleep. Think about that.
Yeah.
Samson was comfortable enough with his head laying in the lap of Delilah that he went to sleep. And when he woke up, he did not even realize that
Yes.
Oh, God, help us. You can't just live any old way you want to live and expect that anointing to flow.
Exactly right.
I know this sounds harsh, but church, I love you. I love you, and I'm telling you, I had another message up until about 4 days ago. And it was a much easier message. I'm telling you, God slapped me up the side of the head with this. We have to take it seriously. Don't let the devil have his way with you and then wonder why you're not operating in the power and the anointing of God. Paul encouraged us in Ephesians chapter 4. He encouraged us to walk worthy of the calling. And you can't do that on your own. You have to do that from the stronghold. You have to do that from that place under the shadow of the Almighty. It doesn't just happen. The calling of God, the anointing, is not to be taken lightly. Don't compromise with the devil. And I will tell you right now, do not reduce your calling and anointing down to pawns or poker chips.
Got quiet.
Don't reduce the anointing down to pawns or poker chips. Your calling, your talents, your anointing are not bargaining chips. In one instance, Esau lost his blessing and his birthright. It didn't take just a few seconds, Brother Aaron. And he lost it. Lost his blessing and he lost his birthright. The word says he sought bitter tears.
Yeah.
He sought with bitter tears to redeem men. He let flesh take over for just a moment.
Heard a lifetime,
yes. Saul had been anointed as king. But because he disobeyed and he did not guard that anointing, the anointing for that position was lifted from Saul and given to David.
Yes. Yeah.
Satan will come and he will use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life to bring you down. When men and women of God fall to temptation, it affects their walk with God. And it affects their ministry.
Amen.
You don't even want to try to minister without the anointing of God.
Amen.
You might as well sit home, watch Gunsmoke,
yes.
Pop some popcorn. But men of God fall into temptation. Women of God fall into temptation. There's a guilt that rests upon them. And they begin to pull back from God. They begin to pull back from the church. They begin to pull back from pastors. They begin to pull back from those friends that they know will give it to them straight. They isolate themselves. When men and women fall to temptation and don't guard the anointing, instead of being up here in these altars, praying with people, they sit in their pew, if they even come to church, feeling guilty, shameful, and unworthy. And that's just where the devil wants you. Satan wants you discouraged, despondent, and depressed. And he wants to bring you down to a place to where you're not using your talents for God, you're not operating in the gifts and the callings, and you're not walking in the anointing. Don't be afraid to battle big.
Amen.
David had to battle big.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to battle big. After the battle, the Philistines left their gods behind. These little man-made gods out of stone and wood that they made that did not deliver them, they ran off and they left those gods behind. David ordered them burnt and destroyed.
Right.
We talked in ER a while back about how addiction is like idolatry. Because whatever it is that we're addicted to, we've given that more power and more attention than we do God.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter whether it's pornography, doesn't matter whether it's food or gambling or social media, doesn't matter if it's drugs or alcohol, if it takes priority over God and those things become gods in your life. Instead of turning to God in our time of need, we turn to those things.
Yeah.
It might be chocolate or it might be cocaine. It might be alcohol or it might be social media. But when we turn to those things instead of going to the stronghold, then those things have taken a place in our life and we need to destroy them. You need to get victory. You need to get victory tonight. And then you need to go home and you need to destroy some things. Brother Mike, I'm not just saying this because of what you said this morning. This was already in my notes. I'm telling you, church, we've got to get busy and we've got to get serious with God. It would do us good every now and then just to go and see exactly what we have in our home and exactly what we have on our phone and exactly what's going on. We need to take charge and we need to stop and we need to take an inventory of what we're listening to, what we're watching to, who we're around, and how it's beginning to affect us. Get the victory and go home tonight and destroy those things that need to be destroyed. It might mean burning books. It might mean turning off cable. Oh my, turn off cable. It might mean turning off cable. It might mean shutting off the internet. And if you got to do it, you got to do it, because I'm telling you, nothing is worth your soul. And that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. When you get down to brass tacks, you get down to where the rubber meets the road, it's your soul that we're talking about. Here comes another battle. Verse 13 says, the Philistines yet spread themselves again abroad in the valley. We can assume it's the same valley, said again in the valley. So we're going to assume that it's the same old valley. The same old battle, the same old devil, the same old temptation, the same old fight that he always keeps coming up. Even after you've had a victory, even after you have won a victory over, don't think that because you win a victory today that he's not going to come again tomorrow after you and the next day and the next day. Just because you win a battle does not mean that he's just going to give up and go home and never bother you with that again. I can promise you he will. Satan is persistent, and we better be more persistent. This time, David prayed, and God told him to do something different. I think God told him to do something different because, you know what? Sometimes, I think we get the idea that we know how to do it. Well, it worked last time, so this is what I'm going to do this time. We get the, it's us.
Yeah.
I did this. It worked for me. This is how I did it. We told him to go up another way. And he said, wait until you hear the sound of the mulberry trees. And David waited until God moved. He was ready for battle.
Waiting on God.
But he didn't move until God stirred those mulberry trees. You may be stirred. There's times you're going to have to stand stirred for just a little while until God says go. It may be that you're just really not ready right now. Stand and wait and listen and don't get ahead of God. When God begins to stir things, then move. You may not always battle the same way, but if you'll show up, and if regardless of what did or did not work yesterday, if you will show up to battle, and if you'll do it the way God says do it, It's a done deal.
Victory's there.
Don't stick your 2 cents worth in and say, well, Lord, you know, I think if maybe, no, just be quiet. And listen to what God is saying to you. Don't care how bad your flesh wants to go another direction. Don't care who's telling you you need to go another direction. You better listen to what God is saying.
Yes.
Brother Chris, would y'all come, please? This time, David went to battle in the valley. It already had a new name.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
It already had a new name because of the victory that he had already won there. It was no longer a place of intimidation. It was a place of victory. And I believe that when David took his first step up that hill to those mulberry trees, he knew that they were going to come out victorious. Verse 17 says, David smote them from Gibeon to Gezer. They won this battle even bigger than they won the one before. This battle was a much greater win for them. 200 years later, the prophet Isaiah mentions this battle in Isaiah 28. 200 years later, Isaiah is talking about this battle because it was such a great victory. Stand, if you would, tonight. From that valley to Gibeon and on to Gezer would be around 20 miles. This was a big battle. Gibeon means hindrances, blockades, or barriers.